Gimel Elul, Tuesday the 18th of August, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, Iron Horror, Part 1. To be continued.
Good morning. When I chose the topic of Iron Horror, it's a big topic, it's done in two parts. Please God, the next part will be in a week or two's time. I told my mother that I'm giving a shiur on Ayin Hara. That is a very dangerous thing to do. She obviously told me to, you know, pa-pa-pa and the red bands and everything else. But she did tell me something very interesting. She said to me that her father, Zayda, she said, used to say that 99% of people buried in a Beis HaKvaros, in a cemetery, die because of Ayin Hara. That's what he used to say. And when I looked into the sugya, it's a Gemara. It's an open Gemara. If you look at the first box on the sheet, the Gemara says in Bav Metzia Kuf Zayin on the base, the Gemara says, V'heisir Hashem Mimcha Kol Chayli. What does that possibly mean? Hashem will remove all illness. Omerav Ze Ayin. Omerav Zu Ayin. Says Rashi, Kol Chayli, Dova Shekol HaChaloyim Tzluim Boi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove all illness, something which all illness depends on, V'zu ha'ayin ayin ro'o, says Rashi. And in fact the Gemara says, Rav le'taymei, the Rav salik le'bei kovri. Rav went to a Beis HaKvaros, he went to a cemetery, Ovad mai de'ovad, he did what he had to do. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Yedea hoya lilchosh ala kvaros, he knew how to do incantations over the people, the mason who were buried in the cemetery, Ulahovin al kol kever v'kever, that he was able to ascertain on every person who was buried, be'ezu misa meis, how the person died. Im meis bizmanoi im ba'ayin ra, whether he died in his predestined time or whether it was because of ayin hora. And he concluded, Omar, Rav, who went to the Beis HaKvaros, he concluded, Tishin v'tisho ba'ayin ro'o v'echot b'derech eretz. 99% of people died because of Ayin Hara. One died of natural means. So it's a Gemara. It's an astonishing Gemara in Bav Metzia Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. The plan is, as I've said before, to break up the topic into two parts. We'll do one today, Mitzvah, and one is, I think, the week after next. What I would like to do today is to give a bit of an introduction to Ayin Hara, and then to discuss Makuras. Ayin Hara, it's amazing how prevalent it is throughout Tanakh, throughout Shas, and then to discuss also today how it appears in Halacha. It's also amazing how it appears in many aspects of Halacha. And then, Mr. Shem, next time, we'll discuss the nuts and bolts, how actually Ayin Hara works, to the extent that we can try and understand these things. And lastly, and most importantly perhaps, what is the best form of protection from Ayin Hara? So those are the things we're going to be covering. So, a bit of an introduction. There is a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Most of us, I think, said it last Shabbos. The Mishnah in Pirkei, Mishnah Yotes. So the Mishnah says, Kol mishi yesh b'yodai shleisha dvarim. Anyone who has the following three attributes, mitalmido shel Avram Avinu, he's a student of Avram Avinu. V'shleisha dvarim acherim mitalmido shel Bilam HaRasha. What are they? Ayin toivo ruach memucho v'nefesh shefalo. A person has a good eye, a ruach nemucha, a humble spirit, a nefesh shefalo, a lowly spirit, a humble spirit. Mitalmido shel Avram Avinu, he is a student of Avram Avinu. Ayin rov, a ruach gevoya, a nefesh ruchava. If he has the opposite, and one of them is of course an ayin hara, then he's a talmid of Bilam. So you see that Bilam is always the prototype of someone who is a baal ayin hara. Now what is that about? So I saw a very interesting thing. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Balak, when Balak goes and he commissions Bilam to curse the people, to curse Klal Yisrael. So he says, Va'ata l'chol no orol yeso amazeh, go curse this people. Ki yodaiti, the famous Pasuk, Eisa she tevoirach mevorich v'asher tor yuor. Whoever you curse, whoever you bless, sorry, is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. That was the shvach, if you like, that Balak was giving Bilam. Says the Sfarno, he was just flattering him. Because he knew full well that Bilam did not have the capacity to bless. Says the Sforno, take a look at the next box. He didn't have the ability to bless. All he could do was curse. That was just to honor him, to flatter him. That he wasn't just this dangerous damager. So you see that Bilam, not only is he the prototype of a Baal Ein Hara, but he didn't have the capacity to bless. Now what does that mean? Rabbi Lev has a very beautiful essay on this topic, on Parshas Balak, and he says the following. Rabbi Zev Lev. He says this. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was hiding from the Romans. Yeah, the Gemara tells us that he was a wanted man, and he was discussing, and he had to hide. The Lag Ba'Omer Gemara. And he was hiding in the cave for 12 years, together with his son, Rabbi Elazar. Now, after 12 years of this intense period where they were writing the Zohar, after 12 years in the cave, the message got through to them that they were safe. They could now leave the cave. So they left the cave. Says the Gemara, as they left the cave, whatever they looked at blew up. Spontaneous combustion. Just blew up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a bus call came out and said, have you come to destroy my world? Go back into the cave. They went back into the cave and they were there for another year. After that year, they came out again. And again it happened. Rabbi Elazar, his son, whatever he looked at, he saw a farmer engaging in the physical world. He couldn't sort of tolerate that physicality. So he looked at it and again it exploded. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai now looked at it, and he was able to extinguish the flames. So they stayed out. Fine, end of Gemara. Says Rabbi Lef, I don't understand the Gemara. If after 12 years of being in this cave and hiding, if that generates an intolerance to the physical world, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell them to go back into the cave for another year? Yeah, Lemoshel. Yeah, imagine you get a fellow who has been sitting in yeshiva for many, many years. He's been sitting, he went to Gateshead, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and then he's been sitting in one of the best, in Kollel Chazanish, yeah, one of the premier Kollelim in the world in Bnei Brak. And he's been learning there for 20 years. So he's had decades of intense learning and Bnei Brak existence. After 20 years of being in Kollel Chazanish, he says, I now want to start to work, to earn parnosa. And he has a friend, his father calls someone a friend, who works as an investment bank in Canary Wharf. So he leaves the end of the month, and he comes back on a Sunday. Monday morning, he's going to show up, and he's going to start work as an investment banker in Canary Wharf. Right? You can imagine that the transition is going to be very difficult for him. And he shows up the next day, he comes home, he says, I can't bear it. It's too much. So his family, his wife says to him, you know what, I've got a good idea. Go back to Kollel Chazanish for another year, and you'll do it next year. That's what the Gemara says. He couldn't tolerate this physical world, so he goes back, and go back into the cave for a year? Doesn't work, what's the mean? Second of all, says Rabbi Lev, another very intriguing question. If, for whatever reason, the antidote is to go back into the cave, then why didn't he tell Rabbi Elazar after the 13th year to go back into the cave? If that's the antidote, however it works. So Rabbi Lev says the following. He says that an ayin hara, a person looking at something with a negative perspective, is a symptom of not that you're learning too little, but you're not learning enough. The point is that a Baal Ayin Hara is someone who always looks at something very negatively. It's a critical negative look, a critical perspective on life. You know, as I was walking here, I reminded myself that the builder's working, as we can hear in and outside. Years ago, I had a friend who lived on Princess Park Avenue, just around the corner. And he told me, this is going back when I was a kid, he told me there was an old lady on Princess Park Avenue who always was a very negative person. She never had a good word to say about anyone or anything. An old lady. And she had lots of bugbears. And one of the things which really bothered her was people drove down Princess Park Avenue too fast, which is, she was right. Yeah, people did drive down too fast. And one day, they built road humps. Yeah, sleeping policemen, they built road humps. And my friend was very excited because he was looking forward for the first time in his life to hear a positive word from this old lady. They're building road humps. People are going to drive slowly down Princess Park Avenue. And sure enough, some days later, he met her. And he says, what do you think? What do you think about the road humps? And she looked at him and she said, terrible. What's the problem? They're not high enough. With some people, you can't win. You can't win. If your glasses have got sour milk on them, everything looks like sour milk. Yeah, that's how it is. A person who is a Baal Ayin Hara looks at things in a negative, critical way. We have two eyes. Rabbi Tatz speaks about this. We have two eyes. And I can only tell you what he says. I can't explain more than that. We have an Ayin Ra and an Ayin Tov. And our two eyes are meant to work as a pair. To get a proper perspective on things, we look at them with two eyes, an Ayin Ra and an Ayin Tov, and then we get a proper perspective. But if a person has only got an Ayin Ra, that means you're overly critical. You're looking at something with a negative perspective. That's why Bilam is described in the Pasuk as Shasum Po'ayin. He only has one eye. That physical actually represents a spiritual, that's just a manifestation of a spiritual undercurrent, i.e. that he looks with an Ayin Ra. And that's why, by the way, the Pasuk says, when he comes to curse the people, he only looks at Miktsas Ha'om, at a part of the people. Why is he only looking at a part of the people? Because that is the nature of a Baal Ayin Hara. Yeah, the marshal, yeah? A guy goes to a chasna. He goes to a chasna. And everything's wonderful. Everything's fantastic. You come back and you say, no, did you enjoy the wedding? So he says, no good, wasn't good. Why not? The flowers weren't fresh enough. Yeah? Well, what about the droshes? What about the music? What about the food? What about the company? Yeah? The trouble is, if a person looks at something negatively, he zeroes in on one thing. That is a Baal Ayin Hara. And that's why the Pasuk says he looks b'miktsas ha'om. That is what Ayin Hara is. And that's why Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, after 12 years, not being able to engage in the physical world is a symptom of not learning enough. He tells him to go back into the cave to learn how to tolerate and to become and to bring the Ayin Tov. After a 13th year, the two of them, the father and the son, had created such a close connection. They've been sitting, writing together the Zohar, the secrets of the Torah. It was such an intense experience that they became one unit. And as it were, just like each and every one of us, we have an Ayin Ra and an Ayin Tov, the two of them worked as a partnership. The Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was the Ayin Tov, and Rabbi Elazar was the Ayin Ra. That's why he didn't tell them to go back in after the 13th year. That is a Hakdama. That Ad Kan is a Hakdama to the Sugi of Ayin Hara. And just by the way, that's Pshat. When it says in the Mishnah, Havidon es kol ha'odom lekaf schus, the key word is kol ha'odom. Because the antidote to looking negatively to a person is to look at the whole picture. When you look at a person, there are some things, however much the person irritates you, if you look as kol ha'odom, there are some things you're going to focus on. You look at the whole picture, not just zeroing in. Okay, now, that is an introduction. Where do we see Ayin Hara in Chazal? The answer is all over the place. For example, before we even get to the first Makor on the sheet, there's a fascinating Medrash. The Medrash says, after the Parsha of the Akedah, at the beginning of Chayei Sarah, Yitzchok disappears from the narrative. He goes underground. What happened to Yitzchok after the Akedah? So the Medrash says that after the Akedah, Yitzchok Avinu disappears because Avram is worried. Avram is worried that the Akedah created such a noise that he was subject to Ayin Hara. He didn't want people talking about it. So he told Yitzchok to go off to Yeshiva, to go away from the spotlight, and to the extent the Mefarshim on the Chumash say that he misses his mother's Levaya, which according to some is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Avraham Avinu says to Yitzchak, I don't care, go away, Ayin Hara is too dangerous, go away. That's what he says. We find, if you look at the second, the next box in paragraph 2, the famous Rashi, Yaakov Avinu sends down his sons to go to Mitzrayim to get food. Rashi says, B'seicha boim. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Matzminim atzmon shelo yakirum. Hide yourselves that you shouldn't be recognized. All the Shvatim, the 10 brothers, shouldn't go down into one entrance. Each of the brothers should go through a different entrance to the city. You have 10 brothers walking together, all strong, handsome people. It creates an Ayin Hara. So Yaakov Avinu is also worried for it. He tells them to go separately to break up. The Gemara in Brachas says, all the precedents for our tefillah, many of them come from Chana, from the tefillah of Chana. Says the Gemara in Brachas, Omru Chana lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chana says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'nosato la'mosecho zera anoshim. When she prays for a child after being barren for so many years, she says, give me please HaKadosh Baruch Hu zera anoshim. Says the Gemara, what does zera anoshim mean? My zera anoshim. Says the Gemara, Zera Shemuvlo Bein Hanoshim. Average. A child who's going to sort of slip in, not to this, not to that. Says the Gemara, Ki Osir Abdimi Omalei, Loi Oruch Veloi Goitz. Not too tall, not too short. Veloi Kotten Veloi Ilim. Not too small. Not too thin, not too stocky. Says the Gemara, Veloi Tzocha Veloi Gichor. His complexion shouldn't be too bright, too red, or too dark. Not too clever. That is not the average tefillah of a Jewish mother. But yet, our precedent from Chana is that we should daven for average children. Not to this, not to that. Why? Because again, says Rashi at the end, a person is to something, people are going to be talking about him. And therefore, that will attract the Ayin Hara. Another precedent. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, if you turn over the page, the top of the next page, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, Omelei Rav Yehuda L'Rabin by Rav Nachman. He's giving property advice. Le'isaz bin Ara Desmicha L'mata. When you buy land, don't buy land which is too close, agricultural land. You want to buy land to work on, don't buy it too close to the city, to a residential area. Why not? To Omer Rav Yavo, Omer Rav, you're not allowed to stand and look at someone's field, his garden, his crop, and say, look at that. Why not? Says Rashi. People, if it's next to a residential area, everyone's looking at it. Says Rashi. And if everyone's looking at it, it's going to attract Ayin Hara. And lastly, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch in Chayshin Mishpat in Shinayin Ches. Afid B'riyosa, there's something called Hezekriya. Yeah, you can visual trespass. You can damage something just by looking at it. Furthermore, in Nusach Sfard, every single morning in the beginning of davening, we say Yirotz Mufanecho, Hakadosh Baruch Hu should save us from certain things. One of them is Me'ayin Hara. So you see that this is just a taste that there's precedence for Ayin Hara in Tanakh, in Shas, all over. So it's something which is there. I should add, I spoke to a certain Rav some weeks ago, and I was discussing Ayin Hara with him, and he told me, he said if he were to speak about Ayin Hara in his shul, he would tell the Olam that it doesn't exist. Why? Because he says, he knows from himself that so many broigeses come because of Ayin Hara, that this happened to me, that happened to me, because this one looked at me, and this one said this, one that. He said it's just, it will tell people it doesn't exist. And that way it will take away people's time, and that way it will reduce progresses. That's what he told me. Okay, but there certainly, it does exist. How we deal with it, we'll see. Let's turn to a new topic. How does Ayin Hara appear in Halacha? It appears in loads of places, but I've chosen three of them. We have here Dudi, the expert Gaba. You come to a Shabbos morning, and you've got a Baal Simcha. He's making a Simcha. And he's got a problem. Because the family, let's say the mitzvah boy, has got three or four brothers. and the father wants to be mechavad to all his sons to get an aliyah on the Shabbos. How's he going to do it? Says the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Chekelung, paragraph 3, in Erechaim in Kuf Mem Aleph, Yechoyim Nikris Beisachim Zachazeh. In truth, he says, the halacha says, you're allowed to call up one brother after another, V'haben Acha'av, and a father after a son as well. However, the Ein Manichim Ela Bishvil Ein Hara. The reason why we don't do it is Ein Hara. The reason why we don't call up a father and a son, one after the other, or two brothers, one after the other, is Ein Hara. Says the Mishnah Berurah, an amazing thing, Hirush Min Adin, Ein Shum Chashash Issa. Strictly, there is no restriction in calling up two brothers or a father and son. And therefore, if by mistake you didn't realize he was a brother and you call him up, lo yeret. What about the father says, I'm not worried about Ein Hara. I want to call up all my sons. I want to call up me after my son or whatever, something like that. Can he be mevat? Can he say, can he turn around and say, I'm not worried about it? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Afilu Omrim Shei Makbidim Al Ein Hara. Even if the father or one of the brothers says, I'm not makbid, you can't listen to him. V'yesh machmirin afilu avin ben beno. Even a grandchild, Mishnah Ein Abishah, V'mokh matzorich yesh lahatzim ben beno. If there's a really strong need, then you can allow to put up for a grandson. And that's true, says the Piskei Tshuvas, okay. So you see that one area in halacha that Ein Hara applies is in shul when you call up two brothers. The whole issue is because of Ein Hara. Another area is a very interesting thing. Two brothers marrying two sisters. Yeah, it's done. The Yabia Oimer gets a fascinating tshuva, a fascinating question. A guy asks him the following. He's a Sfadah Shabbachah learning in Yeshiva, and his brother is married to a very fine young lady, and the Shidduch is read. The sister-in-law says, you know what, I've got a younger sister, you know, it worked for us, what about my younger sister, for your younger brother? So he suggested a Shidduch of his brother's sister-in-law. What to do? What's the issue? So the Abi Omer brings the famous Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. Take a look at the bottom box on page 2. Nishalti mibachu ben teirem yeshivas peiras Yosef, Parat Yosef, the famous Sfad Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Be'inyin Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. She'shnei achim lo yisu beis achoyes. Two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters. And he carries on, it's on paper, it's a fantastic suggestion. So he brings the Sefer Hasidim in the next paragraph, that Shnei Achim, an amazing, powerful Loshon of the Sefer Hasidim, written many hundreds of years ago, Shnei Achim and Nesuim Shnei Achis, two brothers married two sisters, says the Sefer Hasidim, Echad Mehem Yomus, either one of them will die, Ein Lo Yatzlichu, or the Shidduch won't work, Lekach Lo Yiso, therefore they shouldn't get married, V'imna Sehadova, if it's too late, they're already married, one of them should get divorced. That's the Loshon of the Sefer Hasidim. So says Rabbi Vadya, what to do? Should I now tell this young man to go ahead? Says the Rabbi Vadya, he says, Ulam. I'm jumping now, it's about four lines from the bottom of the page. Ulam mitshuvas ha'achroinim hanal, shlechoshu l'siyu l'divreinu, she'af bizman hazeh ein lochosh l'ayin harab matim tzerech mitzvah. He says, don't worry about Ein Hara. When it comes to a Tzorech Mitzvah, we can be maker. We can, you need broad shoulders, like Rav Avadia, to say that. Nowadays, he says, the Koyach HaTumah is much less. Ein Hara is connected to that. And therefore, says Rav Avadia, the Mokum Tzorech Mitzvah, you can be Soma, you can rely on it. Of a Prat, Bizman Hazeh, Shekoshim HaShiduchim Ibnei HaYeshivas. Yeah, going back probably a few decades, the making shidduchim in the yeshiva world wasn't always as easy as it is perhaps nowadays. For kosher lezvugim kris yamsuf, v'kan alidei hashidduch yesh tikva sheyuchel lahamshich b'limut haTorah, and in the zuchus of the Torah, you should carry on. Okay, very good. So you see, so that is a second area. What is the whole concern of the Yehuda HaChosid? Ein Hara. People are talking, but we know that in our kehillah people do it, and so far as I know, Baruch Hashem, the marriages are successful. One final third area of Ein Hara in halacha, and this is fascinating. A third area is naming children. one shouldn't name children a particularly unusual name, because if a person has a very unusual name, it will attract attention. And we'll see, please God, in part two of the Ayin HaRashi, that attracting attention is the real problem for Ayin Hara. So the following question came up. This is a question for the Tzitz Eliezer, Dayan Waldenberg. What was the story? A young man lost his father. And he very much wanted to have a child, to name the child after his father. And sure enough, years later he gets married, his wife becomes pregnant, and sure enough they have a child. One problem. The problem is, the child is a girl. Yeah. Of course it's a bracha. But he wanted to name after his father. His father's name was Eliezer. So he decides to call his daughter Eliezra. Yeah, Eliezra. To feminize Eliezer. Okay. Which again, the post can discuss as well whether that's acceptable. People do it. What happens? A few years later, he has another child, a boy. Now he wants to name the boy Eliezer. So can he? I mean, it looks a little bit bizarre. So what's your children's names? Well, this is Eliezer, and this is Eliezer. Yeah, a little bit unimaginative. So the Tzitz Eliezer concludes that it's mutar l'halacha. So long as there's some shinui, there's some difference between the two names, it's enough. And he brings the Gemara, for example. The Gemara says there's Mar Kshish and Mar Yenuka. Mar the senior and Mar junior. Machlokes Rashi Tosfos, who is actually older and who is younger. But either way, more their names, their real names were Mar. So the father called both the kids Mar. But to differentiate them, one was called senior, one was called junior, therefore that was enough. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, so long as there's a difference, even a slight difference, then it's enough. I'll just conclude with this. I'm reminded of a story, talking about unusual names, that Pesach Kron tells, a great story, that it went back to the Yom Kippur War. And you had a tank, who they were in the thick of the battle, and it was, of course, it took place on Yom Kippur and for the weeks afterwards. And during the Sukkot of the Yom Kippur War, they were in the thick of battle, and it was the middle of Sukkot, and they wanted to give soldiers to shake Arba Minim. So someone went round and gave Arba Minim to the various soldiers in the battle zone. And they went to one tank, there were four chayalim, four soldiers in the tank, and three of them were frum. One was not. So they give the Arba Minim to the soldiers, and the three of them get out of their tank and they shake Arba Minim. And they're about to give it back to the fellow who's going to take it to the next tank. And they say, you know what, let's let the fourth one, let him shake as well. So they ask him, he goes, I'm not Bati, I'm not religious. So he said, listen, you're in the battle zone, no atheist in a foxhole. He does it. He comes out of his tank, he takes out the Arba Minim, they show him what to do, he shakes. At that moment, the tank gets a direct hit. It explodes, and the fact that he came out of his tank to shake Arba Minim, it saved his life. He always remembers this, and years later, he gets married, he has children. To commemorate this life-changing event, he calls his daughter Lulava. Lulava. Pesach Kron says, why didn't call her Hadassah? it's strange. Anyway, he calls her Lulava. The point is, That is a Shayin Halacha, it's an unusual name, yeah? But the root of it is Ayin Hara. What we've discussed today so far is the Hagdama to Ayin Hara, with Bilam, with Bolok, the prototype that we've discussed Makoros for it, plenty of Makoros, and we've discussed three areas in Halacha where Ayin Hara features. Number one is calling up two brothers marrying two sisters, and lastly, naming children. Mitz Hashem, next time, we'll discuss exactly how Ayin Hara works, and we'll also discuss some antidotes to it. Very good. Very good. Very good.